from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Listener, here's the news, first the headlines. Collaboration between Indonesia and Poland advances education and game industry. French Cinema Festival 2024 promotes gender equality in Indonesia. Now the news in detail. The Consul of the Embassy of the Republic of Poland in Jakarta, Jakub Zaczek, expressed his optimism about the potential for collaboration between Poland and Indonesia in the gaming industry. At a special roadshow gaming symposium event at Yusuf Ronodipuro Auditorium in Jakarta Wednesday, he emphasized the importance of education in supporting the development of the gaming sector.
There are many, again, I'm going back to my works experience. There are many scholarships being offered by Polish universities right now in game development and game design, especially for Indonesian citizens. One of them being a university in Rzeszów, which is a town bigger town east of Poland. There are already Indonesian citizens there studying game development and game design.
Moreover, Jakub also revealed that the Polish government has also recognized the value of game industry and offered various forms of support, one of which is scholarship offered by the National Agency of Academic Exchange. Therefore, he believed that students traveling from Indonesia to Poland to study game design will be sent to the National Agency of Academic Exchange. Institut François Indonesia, or IFI, will organize the French Cinema Festival from November 22nd to December 6, 2024. The cultural attaché of the Institut François Indonesia, Shalom Esnu, explained that the 2024 French Cinema Festival is held to promote gender equality through cultural cooperation in Indonesia.
This really aligns with our diplomatic objectives. We want to promote content that we call feminist diplomacy, so to help achieve gender balance in all of our cooperation activities and cultural representation.
Moreover, Charlotte also pointed out the French Cinema Festival will play 32 selected films in 13 cities across Indonesia. With the theme From the Eyes of Women, the film festival features the work of female filmmakers from France with stories that explore the complex lives, struggles, and dreams of women. The governor of Yogyakarta Special Region, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X, encourages poverty alleviation efforts through two aspects, namely community empowerment and culture. According to the Sultan, both aspects are the main foundations needed to encourage the advancement of the nation. In a keynote speech read by the chairperson of the Suluk Nusantara Cultural Society, Bambang Wiyoho, on Wednesday in Jakarta, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X pointed out that the steps to empower community through the cultural sector will change the culture of Indonesia, which makes culture a driving factor for progress.
Membawa kita dari sekedar membangun angka, melainkan
The empowerment of community brings not only from building the numbers to a movement to create a fair and prosperous civilization, but also through this approach, the mindset of the nation's children develops into a culture set, which is full of noble values, a transformation where culture becomes the main driver of community empowerment. Furthermore, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono said that Indonesia succeeded in achieving quite high economic growth by 5.05% in 2023. However, this hasn't been directly proportional to the government's efforts to reduce the poverty rate, which is still relatively high compared to the countries with the same economic growth. He also encouraged that high economic growth can also reduce poverty so that the level of disparity can be reduced. Indonesian Ministry of Culture held a discussion entitled Ngopi Santai with Indonesian music industry players at Graha Utama, Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology Building in Jakarta on Thursday. Minister of Culture Fadlizon had a discussion, plans to strengthen Indonesia's music ecosystem and introduce a new organizational structure at the ministry to further support the cultural sector.
Kemudian,
then we will have three director generals, namely Director General of Culture and Tradition Protection. There are also Director General of Diplomacy, Promotion and Cultural Cooperation, also the Director General of Cultural Development and Utilization.
Lalu ada Dirjen Pengembangan Pemanfaatan Kebudayaan Kebudayaan.
Moreover, Minister Fadlizon also affirmed that each director general will have a subdirectorate that focuses on certain cultural sectors, including film and music. By having the structure, the ministry aims at providing policy interventions that are more effective and directly touch the needs of the music industry in Indonesia. US President-elect Donald Trump returned triumphantly to Washington on Wednesday, pledging a smooth transition of power in January as he met for 2 hours at the White House with his longtime political rival, Joe Biden. As quoted by VOA.com, White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters that it was a substantive meeting and they discussed important national security and domestic policy issues facing the nation and the world. President Biden invited Trump for the traditional visit, a show of the coming January 20th peaceful transfer of power in American democracy between the current US leader and the incoming chief executive. It was Trump's first visit to the White House since his first presidential term ended in January 2021. The two men sat in front of a roaring fireplace in the Oval Office ahead of the private talks and traded niceties in the peaceful tableau. United Nations Security Council on Wednesday condemned attacks in southern Lebanon in recent weeks, in which several UN peacekeeping troops have been injured. As reported by RepNews.com, the UN interim force in Lebanon continues to monitor hostilities in the south of the country, along with the demarcation line separating it from Israel. A year of skirmishes between Israel soldiers and Hezbollah fighters in border areas have escalated into fierce clashes in the past month. Israel accuses the UN peacekeeping forces of providing cover for Hezbollah and has told UNIFIL to withdraw its troops from the southern Lebanon for their own safety. The international force has refused to comply, instead vowing to remain and carry out its mandate along the blue line of demarcation between the two countries, which was established by the UN in June 2000. It has issued several warnings that Israel Army's deliberate and direct destruction of clearly identifiable UNIFIL property is a flagrant violation of international law and UN resolutions. The Philippines raised its high storm alert and evacuated thousands of people on Thursday. A super typhoon Usagi barreled towards its already disaster-ravaged north. As reported by Ken.com, packing sustained winds of up to 180 km per hour, Usagi is set to smash onto the main island of Luzon in the afternoon local time, the fifth storm to threaten the country in just 3 weeks. The brutal wave of weather disturbances has already killed 159 people and prompted United Nations to request $32.9 million in aid for the worst affected regions. The National Weather Agency said the winds could cause almost total damage to structures of light materials, especially in highly exposed coastal areas, and heavy damage to buildings otherwise considered low risk. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia. Six Indonesian companies are participating for the first time in Europe's largest semiconductors exhibition, Electronica 2024, which takes place in Munich, Germany from Tuesday to Friday. As reported by Antara from an official statement from the Indonesian Embassy in Berlin on Wednesday, the Indonesian booth, which is the result of collaboration among the Indonesian Embassy in Berlin, the Ministry of Industry and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, features superior products made by the Indonesian people. Indonesian Ambassador to Berlin, Arif Hafaz Ugroseno, said that Indonesia does not want to be left behind by its Southeast Asian neighbors in the strategic semiconductor industry. He also said that the semiconductor industry is very strategic in the midst of world geopolitical competition, which also involves competition in the field of technology. As Indonesia's representative in Germany, the Indonesian Embassy in Berlin has established various collaboration with relevant parties in Germany to support the development of Indonesia's semiconductor industry ecosystem. The collaboration focuses on three main pillars, namely human quality development, technology, and investment. The Indonesian delegation also held strategic meetings with a number of parties, including the German Microelectronics Research Center, to introduce Indonesia's potentials in the global semiconductor industry, as well as strengthen the cooperation relationship that has been established since early 2024. The discussion is expected to pave the way for further collaboration, Indonesian human development in the field of semiconductors, training, research, technology development both between universities and research institutions. Electronica is one of the largest trade shows for semiconductors and electronic products and has been in existence for 60 years. In 2022, Electronica attracted 2,140 exhibitors from 51 countries and 70,000 visitors from 102 countries.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event of the founding day of Indonesian Mobile Brigade. The origins of Brigade Mobile date back to the Japanese occupation of Indonesia. In April 1944, Japan established a paramilitary police unit called Tokubetsu Kaisatsu Tai in Indonesia. Members of Tokubetsu Kaisatsu Tai were young police officers who received military training and equipment from the Japanese Army. When Japan surrendered to the Allies and Indonesia proclaimed independence on August 17, 1945, Tokubetsu Kaisatsu Tai was renamed as Polisi Istimewa or Special Police. On November 14, 1946, all special police units were consolidated into Mobile Brigade. Later on, then President Sukarno officially changed the previous name to Brigade Mobile or BRIMOB. Every year on November 14th is celebrated as BRIMOB Day. We turn to the government decree of 14th November. In the early years of independence, Indonesia operated under a presidential system with the Central Indonesian National Committee or KNIP as the legislative body. However, on November 11, 1945, the committee proposed that ministers should be accountable to the Central Indonesian National Committee or KNIP. Indonesian then President Sukarno accepted this suggestion, issuing the 14th November 1945 decree, which transitioned Indonesia from a presidential to a parliamentary system. The shift made the president the head of state and prime minister the head of government, starting with Sultan Syahrir as Indonesia's first prime minister. Known as the Syahrir Cabinet I, it governed from November 14, 1945 to March 12, 1946, aimed to enhance democratic freedom. We end today in history with World Diabetes Day. World Diabetes Day is celebrated annually on November 14th. Established in 1991 by the International Diabetes Federation or IDF and the World Health Organization, the day was officially recognized as World Diabetes Day in 2007. It aims to raise global awareness about diabetes and prevention measures, and the date November 14th was chosen in honor of Frederick Banting's birthday. Together with Charles Bess and John James Richard MacLeod, Banting discovered insulin as a treatment for diabetes in 1922. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
And that I can't not to ride along with you. I had all and then most of you, some and now none of you. Take me back.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Indonesia prepares carbon trade MRA agreement with Japan. Indonesian Special Envoy for COP29 Hashim Joyo Hadikusumo convey the Indonesian government is ready to carry out a mutual recognition arrangement or MRA for carbon trade with Japan. Speaking at Pavilion Indonesia in Azerbaijan on Tuesday, Hashim said President Prabowo Subianto is ready to continue the commitment from the previous president. At Pavilion Indonesia, the Indonesian government and Japanese government announced the achievement and beginning of MRA implementation for bilateral carbon trade between the two nations. The MRA agreement becomes the first bilateral cooperation model in the world in the Paris Agreement framework, especially Article 6.2. Japanese Deputy Minister of Environment Yutaka Matsuzawa at the same occasion said that based on MRA, Indonesia and Japan want to formulate and develop a concrete project for greenhouse gas reduction in Indonesia. According to Yutaka, based on experience, both nations can contribute to the global greenhouse gas reduction. The MRA document signing was done circularly on 18 October 2024 by the Indonesian Environment and Forestry Minister and later on 28 October 2024 by the Japanese Environment Ministry. According to the agreement, the MRA established on the principle of equality between Indonesian and partner countries' carbon credit system began to apply on 28 October 2024. The mutually recognized carbon credit system components by the two nations include the methodology of mitigation action, emission measurement, reporting and verification or MRV, and carbon credit certification. In Indonesia, this certification is called Indonesian Greenhouse Gas Emission Reduction Certificate or SPEI. MRA ensures the carbon credit system in Indonesia is recognized by the partner country's authority to support the achievement of the greenhouse gas emission reduction target mandated by the Paris Agreement. The Paris Agreement demands the carbon trade cooperation to follow the principles of transparency, accuracy, completeness, comparability, and consistency, which guarantees high integrity in carbon credit trade. Since 2013, Indonesia has been cooperating with Japan through the joint crediting mechanism for mitigation projects in Indonesia. Prior to MRA, the carbon credit resulting from the Joint Crediting Mechanism or JCM project in Indonesia is yet to be recorded in the Indonesian National Registry System. With the MRA beginning to apply, all ongoing JCM mitigation projects in Indonesia must be registered in the National Registry System and use SPEI. In November and December 2024, the Indonesian Environment Ministry and JCM Secretariat will list the JCM projects in Indonesia, carbon credit results, projects in the planning process, and Japan's investment plan in the Indonesian Mitigation Act projects. The Environment Ministries of Indonesia and Japan, as well as the Japan Embassy, will disseminate information on MRA implementation to Japanese investors in Indonesia, as well as stakeholders in the two countries. Well, listener, that's My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Cinta dalam hati kecilku, kamu juga mencintainya, hancurkan semua harapanku pada dirimu. Kepadaku.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
The people of Pinrang Regency, South Sulawesi, have an interesting traditional game called Matojang, held during the post-harvest festival. In Buginese, a language spoken by a Sulawesi ethnic group of Bugis, Matojang comes from the word tojang, which means swing. Culturally, within the Bugis community, Matojang is defined as swinging or playing on a swing. The Matojang game is intertwined with a myth believed by the Bugis people that it represents the process of the first human, Batara Guru, descending from Boting Langi, or celestial realm, to Earth. In Bugis cultural mythology, Batara Guru is the ancestors of Saweri Gading. Saweri Gading is the father of the La Galigo, a mythical figure who produced the epic manuscript known as the La Galigo. In the past, this traditional game was held post-harvest as a tribute to the Bugis ancestors. The process in which Batara Guru's descent from the celestial realm was said to involve the use of Tojang Pulaweng, which means a golden swing. The myth later evolved and became part of traditional ceremonies. The traditional game of Matojang was created to preserve this belief, and eventually, it became a popular folk game. To set up the Matojang game, a minimum of 4 to 6 areca trees or poles of betung bambu or large bamboo, approximately 10 to 15 meters high, are needed. 3 poles are planted on each side of the swing span, assembled and tied together. The 2 swing pillars, about 10 meters apart, are connected by an overhead cross beam made of areca or bamboo. Each pillar is supported by 3 poles arranged in a triangular formation. The swing rope, traditionally made from dried and braided buffalo hide, is attached to the structure. However, as buffalo hide has become increasingly difficult to obtain, some swing ropes are now made of iron chain. Tudangeng, or seat, is also made. Tudangeng is crafted from wooden planks or kapok wood to seat the person playing on the swing. Below the seat, a pepa rope is attached, functioning as a pulling mechanism. In Bugis tradition, a person intending to play swing on the tudangeng must first wear the baju bodo, a traditional Sulawesi garment. To play matojang, the pepa rope is pulled by 2 men or women to swing the person sitting on the tudangeng. At least 2 to 4 people are needed to pull the rope and achieve maximum height. While Matojang was originally held post-harvest as a tribute to Bugis ancestor, it now aims to foster social connections among farmers.
Pergi ke Jogja. kamu juga mau ajakku ke konser berdua. Rencana
still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miscellany.
Today's episode of Miscellany, we are going to talk about Indonesia launches Southeast Asia's first seamless steel pipe factory. Dear listeners, Indonesia has now established Southeast Asia's largest seamless steel pipe factory, located within the Krakatau Steel Industry Complex in Cilegon City, Banten. This significant development, inaugurated by the Ministry of Industry, was made possible through a 2.5 trillion Indonesian rupiah partnership between PT Artas Energy Petrogas and Interco Global International under the collaboration. Under the collaborations between AEP and IGI, fully funded through domestic investment, this factory is a major step toward meeting the country's industrial needs, particularly in the oil and gas sector, and promises to reduce reliance on import. The initiative aligns with the government's commitment to boost downstream industrializations, seen as vital for driving national economic growth and enhancing Indonesia's global competitiveness. The Ministry of Industry continues to advance its downstream industrial strategy as part of long-term visions for industrial self-sufficiency. Deputy Minister Faisal Riza emphasized the critical need to integrate the oil and gas sector with domestic metal processing capabilities. With the establishment of the seamless pipe factory, Indonesia strengthens its downstream sector and builds resilience within the supply chain for industries reliant on seamless pipes, notably the oil and gas sector. This new seamless pipe facility boasts an annual production capacity of 250,000 tons, expected to fulfill a significant portion of the country's domestic demand for drill pipes. OCTG, or oil country tubular goods, line pipes, and mechanical tubes. With this scale of production, Indonesia has the potential to become a regional leader in the seamless pipe industry and open new export opportunities, solidifying its presence in international markets. The domestically produced pipe will support various operations in the oil and gas industry, ensuring a stable supply of raw materials and reducing dependency on imported goods. Well, listeners, that was Miscellany.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we will play a song titled Aku Ini Punya Siapa, or To Whom Do I Belong? Aku Ini Punya Siapa was popularized by January Christie. January Christie was popular with her debut hits, Melayang or Fluting. With a unique vocal, a heavy and thick one for alto, some may mistake January Christie as a man. The song Aku Ini Punya Siapa was released in an album of the same title in 1987. The song credited by Dian Pramana Putra and Dedi Dukun was about someone who wants to break up with their lover. Listener, here's January Christie with Aku Ini Punya Siapa. Happy listen.
Susah juga ternyata punya pacar bermata liar. Seringkali memalukan, dibuatnya aku tiada berharga. Mau marah percuma, paling hanya menelan ludah. Daripada naik darah, ku putuskan saja tali cintanya. Untung saja seluruh diriku dapat ku jaga. Sejak ku cinta dia hingga kini berpisah. Oh syukur tiada ternoda. Aduh, pisang gila. Punya pacar berhati dua. Aku ini punya siapa? saja tali cintanya.
Kau pus dendam tukar kiri bertengkaran.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Yang tak
Goodbye, listener. Thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.